This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Dukes and Bell. Rob Tribble filling in for Carl Dukes. Without further ado, he is the voice of the Atlanta Falcons and many, many other things. Let's go out to Wes Durham. Wes!
Coach Tribble,
yes,
welcome
sir.
Back.
Wes, I got a story for you. You know, my daughter is a sophomore at UNC Chapel Hill. She absolutely loves it. She's thriving. And when I moved her in last year, I'd never been up there. So I immediately made a beeline to Carmichael. I had to see that building. Mm. Of course, I thought about your dad and the ghost of Worthy and Steve Hale and Michael Jordan, because I was a I was an ACC basketball junkie. And I guess I owe it all to Food Lion, don't I?
Yeah, Food Lion or Holly Farms or, you know, Sailing with the Pilot. Take your pick.
But it was so cool to finally get to visit up there, and she absolutely loves it. And that means she's going to be able to afford to put me in a good home, which is more important.
Well, I'm getting ready to say, because the money you're cashing through to send her to Chapel Hill is impressive.
Well, she earned that, luckily, because of her gray matter.
Oh, good, good. Yep. That's important. So, unlike Mike and I, we just tried to get through, period.
I was going to say, I still needed a few more hours there from VPI. It is our man, Wes Durham. Wes Drewham, as we love to say. Wes, it was so much fun. Yes, it was a bit of a roller coaster at the end, but just loving the way the offense looks. To have Pitts and London, and again, Mariota, I mean, when he's on and making throws, it's just so much fun to watch, and Patterson as well.
Yeah, no, I think a couple things we touched on last week, the ability to run the ball, obviously. You know, and here's the deal. Seattle, you know, the old Dennis Green line, right? They were who we thought they were, right? They started off running it like a house of fire with Rashad Penny. So Atlanta kind of had to get up on their toes early, and I think that was a good thing, right? I thought that, you know, Marcus did a really good job guiding them down the field. They kick an early field goal, that kind of thing. But nonetheless, they answered the road call, so to speak. And that showed me the edginess I think they played with mentally as much as physically, Mike and Rob, because – I think when you lose the way you did in Los Angeles, yeah, you felt okay about the comeback, but you really hated the first half. And then to have Seattle kind of threaten there early, you had to put a stop to that, because the last thing you wanted to do was fall behind again. And I was really impressed with the mental toughness as well as the game plan on Sunday. And, you know, we'll see. I think it could be a big thing. But, underline, question mark, is it enough to get you kind of the momentum you need to then capitalize this Sunday against a Browns team that's 2-1 and, you know, is coming off some rest here? I mean, they played last Thursday night against Pittsburgh, second time in four games. Atlanta's drawn the card of somebody who's had a little longer to get ready maybe than most this time of year.
Well, Wes, I've been following this team and covering, you know, I go back to like 1973 with this team. So
sure.
This team, there's just something so interesting and likable about it. Granted, they run me through the gamut of emotions, but at least I feel something. You know, there's been many years I felt nothing.
Yeah, I think it's – look, I think it's about the process. And you know, this is like, you know, Rob, Mike, and Carl and I talked about it. This is the boring part of this, okay? This is the part where they're building.
Yep.
And nobody ever wants to talk about that. Just, you know, tell me what it looks like at the end, and are we going to win, you know, continually for years and years? This part is the hard part. And look, Sunday was a bit of a high. You've had a little bit of a dip in week one where you played great for three quarters and it didn't work out for you. Well, now you're getting to the week-to-week stuff. And remember, the bye week for this team is, what, week 14 or something insane, you know, damn near after Thanksgiving, and you can finish your Christmas shopping on the bye week. I mean, it's just crazy. But I think this is the part where we kind of got to slow it down and say, okay, what did they do well last week that you feel like they can do well again this week? The most encouraging thing, and I'll stick with this, since week one has been the ability to run the ball. And Mike, remember when we talked about running it with the different people?
Right.
Well, now we're starting to see different people. I mean, Cordell certainly had 100 yards, 140, a career high, and he's doing a terrific job. But the fact Tyler Allgeier carried it six times for 25 yards, you got something more than 4 yards a carry from Tyler Allgeier. That's pretty good. And then the other thing, too, is that London and Pitts were really good, but so were a lot of other guys, too. I mean, you had a couple catches for OZ. You had, a couple catches for Cordarrelle Hodge. I mean, you're getting guys now who are doing some things that I think that can help you long term, and that's the encouraging part. And, oh, by the way, the left guard didn't play, and it wasn't right. much of an issue. On Sunday
in Seattle. We mentioned, Colby Gossett. I was worried about no Elijah Wilkinson, and you didn't ever hear complaints or nothing about that side of the line. Wes Durham was with us, guys. And it's funny because, look, it's in the rear view now, but part of the reason why Matt Ryan struggled so much after 17 was we didn't have any of this run game. If you get a run game, Chuck Smith brought it up earlier, then the play action, all of a sudden teams can't just pin their ears back, and that gets all your playmakers on the edge involved. So I guess the question, Myles Garrett in a car accident, not sure if it's going to be 100%, but when you look at the Browns, they're very similar. Arthur Smith talked about it on Monday. Very physical team. They want to pound the rock with Chubb. So it's very similar styles?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the ratios and the percentages are probably a little different, but, I mean, when you look at them on third down, I mean, Cleveland is 47.8. Atlanta's, right about 40%. Defensively, Atlanta's 47.5%. Cleveland's pretty good. I mean, they're middle of the pack on third down at 37%. But the ratios in the run game, I mean, they run it for, they're running it for 191 yards a game. I mean, Nick Chubb's an incorporated entity in Cleveland at this point, the way they run it. Atlanta's number five in the run game. I mean, sure, you would say that somebody's going to step up and try and dominate on the ground. But that's easier said than done. I think the real challenge for Atlanta will be, can you run it against the seventh best rush defense in the NFL? If you can do it against a top 10 run defense this early in the season, that's another win, I think. And that's the important part. And, we talk about these small steps, Mike. I think that's a really important step on Sunday. Can you run the ball against a group that's got Taven Bryan up front, that's got Myles Garrett, Jordan Elliott, Alex Wright, and, a couple of other guys that, Jadeveon Clowney's still on this team. I mean, they got proven guys up front, and that's a challenge for sure.
Wes, talk about the emergence of this offensive line, though. It's been a lot better than I thought because now you have an identity as a power running team, basically.
Yeah, but Rob, you're playing a lot of East-West football too, right?
Sure.
I mean, you're doing a lot of things going in space against momentum, away from the strength of the formation at times. You do play into the formation every once in a while. And I think that's obviously part of the scheme as well. But I get back to run pass balance. I mean, I thought before the drone hit on Sunday, they were going to wear them out, run to pass all the way down the field. I mean, I really did. I thought, and Dave said it on the air, the drone kind of stopped the momentum. Of course, two, three plays later, I guess, is when the fumble occurred. But the reality of it was they were scheming the hell out of Pete Carroll. That's the bottom line. And I think that that's kind of one of their strengths through the first couple games is their ability to create those run-pass advantages. I agree. You give a lot of credit to the offensive line. Certainly give Jake a lot of credit and Lindstrom and McGarry, the veteran pieces in there. But, Drew Dahlman's played well, right? I mean, let's be honest. He's played well, and we talked about Colby Gossett coming in the other day. Happy for him. But you got to keep this thing going, and I think that's probably the big challenge that Arthur and his staff get to with the team tomorrow.
It is Wes Durham, guys, and, of course, covering college football as well. I mean, Wes, you covered Georgia Tech. You were the voice of the Jackets for so many years. We had a big conversation as a Strong Arm Story yesterday about where is Georgia Tech? Where are they going to go? Obviously, the AD rides and dies with the big hires. So what is the next chapter for Georgia Tech? What should it be?
Oh, I don't know, Mike, that I can give you any kind of, lock-solid answer on what it should be. But I think this is going to be real. Well, first of all, you got to remember the history that was set yesterday. In 130 years of intercollegiate athletics, Georgia Tech, they've never fired an athletic director. Mm-hmm. Yesterday they did,
wow.
Right? The coaching change, they hadn't made a coaching change like that in almost 30 years. Bill Lewis was let go with three games to go in the 94 season. And eerily similar situation for Bill Lewis as with Jeff Collins. Great optimism when he was hired. He had come off a terrific run at East Carolina, and they just never seemed to get any momentum built in his tenure. Very similar to Jeff. I think the scenario here with Georgia Tech is the process that has to take place with President Cabrera and certainly Frank Neville, who's now the interim athletic director, in the process of how you go about hiring the AD and the football coach. How much lockstep is there going to be? We know that last year at Miami, again, different situation, Miami hired Mario Cristobal, and then Dan Radakovich became the AD. I think Miami's landscape was totally different than Georgia Tech's. The piece I'm really concerned about, or the piece I'm going to be interested to see how it plays out, Georgia Tech is going to have to answer as many questions as they're going to ask in this process. Because the athletic director position, as you guys know, has become very similar to coaching, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, ADs are wanted people on the perspective of major college athletics now. Not often do you, you know, bring one through your system and have him stay on site. That's why Josh Brooks, I think, is, you know, been a nice hire at Georgia. It looks like Graham Neff at Clemson. They worked for those people who they were with. Georgia Tech doesn't have that advantage. Georgia Tech's going to have to find somebody to come in. But Dr. Cabrera, the Board of Trustees, the Foundation Board, headed up by Al Trujillo, they're going to have to answer difficult questions to these candidates about what athletics is going to be in the next 5 or 10 years, if that makes sense. Because the landscape is totally different. It's totally different than when Paul Johnson retired to now. And, you know, that's got to be taken into consideration. And I do believe that will affect the pool for not only the football coach, but the athletic director as well.
How far behind is Georgia Tech facilities-wise compared to the five-star resorts that you're seeing dotting the landscape in college football?
Well, in my opinion, and, you know, obviously I spent 18 years there, as Mike said, doing the ball games. Rob, I think they are, in my opinion, they're in the bottom five of the ACC in terms of facilities. And, you know, they've got to look at Bobby Dodd Stadium from a fan experience and a revenue generation piece. They are doing things. They've obviously refurbished the locker room. They're doing some things with the renovation and remodeling of the Edge building, the Edge Rice Center, it's going to be called, as I understand. They now control the Wardlaw Center, which is the three-story building in the south end zone. What is that ultimately going to be? And the next AD is going to have that and more on their plate, not to mention all the other things that have developed in college athletics in the last 5 years, or most notably in the last three. Yeah, NIL, collectives, massive transfer portal scenarios. I mean, remember, you know, a few years ago, Georgia Tech had guys that would, you know, take 5 years to graduate, had a season of eligibility, and try to go to grad school, and oftentimes didn't work out for them to get into grad school. Roddy Jones kind of changed the course of that a little bit. Daryl Richard kind of changed the course of that a little bit. Now I think they're able to pull that off. Well, that's one step to help, but how does a transfer portal work? Georgia Tech's been pretty, you know, and rightly so. It's a proud institution. It's been difficult sometimes to get transfers in there, right, with curriculum and things like that. So I think that's where the bigger picture is for anybody who wants to come here as the AD or the coach. And I'm not trying to be the doomsday guy. I'm trying to be the reality guy about, you know, the decision the Institute has to make as to, you know, where they want to be in this process in the next 10 years. That's a tough choice, guys. Every school is not built like Alabama. Every school is not built like Georgia. Or, you know, the wannabe of Texas, or the wannabe, you know, every school, very few are elite, a lot are relevant.
And that's what Wake is, Wes, that's what we said about Wake. I mean, Wake does it with a small undergrad. I mean, obviously they got some, you know, some deep-pocketed alum, but they seem to have they always seem to be relevant, whether it was Grove, the present coach. They always seem to be in the mix, at least, or in the cusp of the top 25.
Mike, they've got three incredible, very philanthropic leaders in terms of guys who are making sure that Wake Forest Athletics is going to succeed. One of them's in Atlanta, Mitch Shaw, right? You know, they're determined to see Wake Forest through. Wake Forest also has something in a far bigger case than Georgia Tech. They have a liberal curriculum for a private institution. Georgia Tech's a public institution. Now, they've done a better job of creating avenues of interest beyond engineering and beyond all the other, you know, deep research and technological areas that typically Georgia Tech is known for. some of that's changed in the last 10 to 15 years. And that's a good thing, right? It's allowed them to recruit on more of a parallel. But there's got to be more. This is the time where schools, unfortunately, whether they have a coach and AD change or not, are having to make decisions about how deep in the pool you want to swim here, if you follow me, right?
Yep.
And not every school's going to the deep end and just cannonballing into the deep end of the pool and throwing their arms up in the air and saying, by God, we're here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Stanford. Stanford's having a hard time competing right now in the Pac-12, and it's because Stanford is not looking at the game the same way maybe as they did 5, 6, 7 years ago before all this happened, right?
Right.
I mean, the transfer portal's been a hot mess for some schools. Look at the scenario at Georgia Tech. How did Jeff Collins' downfall start? It started with the transfer portal. Think about it. I mean,
guys jumping.
There was a revolving door down there at Bobby Dodd and Techwood for a while.
Wes, the story's going to keep on trucking. Again, we'll talk about it next week. And it's just tough because, as you know, we've seen when it's good. It can be good again.
Calling John Dewberry. Yeah. Put some commas in the check, please.
Hey, man. Wes.
Well, I tell you this. I mean, don't forget, you know, the guy that was there, and I'm not comparing, you know, coaches here. The guy that was there played in 3 ACC title games and sent him to 2 Orange Bowls.
Right.
And you know how that works, Mike. I mean, it wasn't sexy all the time. It wasn't always maybe fan-friendly all the time with Paul. But they were successful. And I'm sorry it didn't work for Jeff. I like him as a person. But I think there were a lot of elements that factored into that, and I feel badly for Todd too, because he and Karen are terrific people. But you know, this is now, as you guys know better than anybody, you talk about every day, this is a big time business, and there is an expectation level that has to be met on some degree.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.